chapter 1. We left off with Haggai, the prophet, warning the people that if they didn't consider their ways and get right and start working on the house of God instead of being selfish and idolatrous regarding their own affairs, that God was not going to bless them. And what's amazing? This is one of the greatest things that happens if a preacher preaches the truth and people believe it and they act upon it. And that's exactly what happened. And I call this a remarkable revival. Haggai chapter 1 verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, to the Lord's in the Lord's message unto the people, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Upon hearing the word of the Lord, as delivered by the prophet Haggai, Zerubbabel the governor, Joshua the high priest, and all the remnant of the people responded in a most remarkable way. God's word had so penetrated their heart and their mind, they repented of their neglect of the house of God, and they obeyed the word of God. They changed the negative and they started doing something positive. Their repentance and obedience moved them with a solemn fear and reverence that prompted action on their part. They immediately got to work in rebuilding the temple. They experienced a remarkable revival that was sent by the Spirit of God, moving on the hearts of the people to obey the Word of God. That's what we need today. When we read this biblical account of revival, it ought to encourage us to believe that God can do the same in any age and in our day. Well, the first thing you notice is they responded to the Word of God. In verse 12, the civil leader of the Jews, Zerubbabel, the governor, and their spiritual leader, Joshua, the high priest, obeyed the words of Haggai the prophet. Now you think about it. He wasn't preaching sugar stick messages. He didn't have molasses dripping out one side and honey out of the other. There wasn't nothing sweet about the message that Haggai the prophet brought to them. It was one of uncompromising boldness. He had rebuked the people for their idolatry, their selfishness, their laziness regarding the building of God's house. And Haggai plainly told the people, you're under the judgment of God. You're under the chastening hand of the Almighty, because you're tending to your own house and you're not concerned about the house of the Lord. He made it clear that the reason why their crops were failing, why there was a drought in the land, why their money didn't go far, why their clothes weren't making them warm. They were living in sin. And they needed to get right. You know what happened? They all left the church. That's what happens in a lot of churches. The preacher preaches against sin. Everybody gets their feelings hurt. And they leave the church and they say, or they sit back there and say, "You just try to bless me." You know, people, listen, I thank God we don't have that kind of church, but I've preached to people. If that's the slightest thing offends them, and they turn the preacher off. They didn't do that. You know what? These leaders were not offended or mad at the prophet. The Word of God penetrated them. He preached without fear or favor, and God used the message. They regarded Him as the man of God sent by God with a message from God. And you know what they did? They hearkened. They believed. They embraced and heard the Word of the Lord. And they obeyed it. Man, it's exciting when you see that happen. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if the civil and spiritual leaders in our day responded to the Word as these Jewish leaders of olden days did? Oh, tonight, I pray for our politicians. I hate to call them leaders. They are put in positions of authority, and it's been ordained by God. But I can't follow in a path of wickedness. I can't follow people who call themselves leaders, who are idolaters, who are baby killers, who hate God, hate the gospel. But I will pray for them. And they need to repent of their idolatry. They need to repent of their deception and their lies and their double dealing. They need to repent of the perversity that they're promoting in our society. Our educators need to repent of their atheism and the slop that they're teaching kids, indoctrinating them into all manner of perversity and ungodliness. They, our people in authority, need to repent. And wouldn't it be a glorious thing if somehow they got a hold of a message like this, or they read the Word of God and they saw what happened in the days of Haggai the prophet, and God would penetrate their hearts and they would do like these leaders did and repent and turn and do what's right. Oh, that God would do that in our land. How miraculous would it be if you see some of these politicians get up and say, "I've been lying, I've been cheating, I've been stealing, I've been dead wrong, and I repent, I've trusted Jesus Christ, I'm following Him, I believe the Word of God, I don't believe in evolution, I believe in Christ and His authority." Well, don't you think that God, that would have an impact? It'd be amazing. But instead, the religious and civil authorities around the world, they don't obey the truth. They don't even care about the truth. They don't even consider their ways. They're in their ivory towers, figuring out ways to hold their power. rather than doing what's right in the sight of Almighty God. And oh, how we need a change. They blindly follow the popular and political movements of the day and pay no regard to the truth of the Word of the Lord. That's why judgment is prevalent in our world today. Not just the United States, but around the world. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The example of the civil and spiritual leaders of the Jews had a profound effect upon the remnant of these people who had come back from Babylonian captivity. They also obeyed the Word of the Lord. They also began to walk in the fear of the Lord. It ought to be noted that our example of obedience to the Word of God can have a profound impact upon others. I'm calling upon you. Understand your personal responsibility to do right, to live right, to act right, to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power in the way you live, the way you conduct yourself in your home and with your family and in the community and at the workplace. Be an example. Oh, that God would convict us of our mediocrity, of our love of self-satisfaction, and that we would be stirred to obey the Word of the Lord. But it must have been an encouragement when the people saw their leaders openly repent of their sin and actively follow the truth of the Word of God. We can have a positive influence upon those around us if we'll follow the Lord honestly and sincerely. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Sadly, you look at the history of mankind, the history of the nation of Israel, when they had wicked kings, the people did wickedly. When the kings were engaged in idolatry and child sacrifice, the people followed right along. And that's what's happening in our day. That's why you can't follow those who hate the Lord. You've got to take your stand for what's true and what's right. And we need to do it with grace and speak the truth in love. But all how we need to tell people that they need to turn and trust. Now we find two key responses to the Word of God recorded in verse 12. First, the people from top to bottom, from leadership all the way down, it says they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. They recognized the message as being sent from God by the man that God had sent to them. Think about that. How novel is that? In our day and age, when people hate those who speak boldly from the Word of God, these people listened to what the man of God said, and they understood that he meant what he was preaching was for their good. And they responded. Without hesitation, they obeyed God's instructions and warnings. That's the best thing you can do. Jesus said, you want to prove your love for the Lord? If you love me, keep my commandments. You say you're a friend of the Lord, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. You want to live clean and do right? Jesus said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He prayed, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. You're going to live right, do right, and clean up? You've got to get the word of God in you, and you've got to believe it and make application. That's exactly what they did. They heard the words that had been sent from God, and they recognized that they were from God. I don't think there was anything particularly special about the physical appearance of Haggai the prophet. I don't know. It doesn't sound to me like he was eloquent of speech. But he preached pretty plain to them. And they saw that it was the word of the Lord. You know, 1 Samuel 15:22 says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience is more important than outward observances of religious ceremonies. When we obey the word of the Lord, we are in effect making practical application of the truth. We are agreeing with what God has commanded, and we are acting upon His word as our authority, as our guide. That's what happens when you obey. And there's no substitute for obedience in the Christian life. And secondly, when they heard the word of the Lord, they didn't just obey. The people did fear before the Lord. Their obedience was joined with solemn reverence and holy fear. You know, I think there's a brand of religion today that it ain't worth 2 cents. Easy believism that just gets people out of hell, supposedly. But listen, if your life has never been changed by the power of God, you're not saved. When the Lord saves somebody, He changes them forever. Now, they don't become perfect, certainly. But I tell you what, when you're born of God and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, your life will, you can't live the way you used to. And I don't think that's being preached much in our day. They recognized the presence and power of God and were in awe that He would deal with them in grace. They didn't get mad at the preacher. They didn't get mad at the messenger or even the message. I think that they were humbled that God would even send somebody to tell them what they were doing and what they needed to do. And it humbled their hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. T.V. Moore said, true religion manifests itself in fearing the Lord and obeying the voice of His servant. And that's exactly what they did in verse 12. We're going to stop there tonight. Next week, we're going to look at God's response to the people's repentance.